So the next paragraph in our Gemara reads, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu Baruch Shenasam Torah La'amo Yisrael Baruch Hu Keneged Ar Rabbanim Dibra HaTorah. Blessed be the place, blessed be He. Blessed be He who gave Torah to His nation Israel, blessed be He. And it's parallel to the four children that we talk about in the paragraph following that the Torah spoke about. So, none of this makes sense. What do we talk about, blessed be the place? I mean, we know it's referring to God, but why are we referring to God as the place now? And what do you mean after that? Blessed be He. Blessed be who gave Torah to the Jewish people. Obviously, we're talking about God, but why are we talking about this here and now? We're in the holiday of Pesach, which is the holiday of the Exodus, not the holiday of Shavuos, which is the holiday of giving the Torah. And what's the added blessed be He? And then we have to understand why this directly leads into the four sons, which this latter question we're going to discuss in our next Dvar Torah, Be'ezer Hashem. But now let's just decode this line, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasam Torah La'amo Yisrael Baruch Hu, blessed be the place, blessed be He who gave the Torah to the Jewish people, blessed be He. To understand this, so the concept of makom, that we call God makom in some of our prayers, right? So Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called makom, is called the place, because Hu makoma shel olam v'eino olam makoma. He is the place of the world, but the world is not His place, meaning He makes existence possible. He makes space possible. He's the space for the world, but the world's not His space. Meaning He gives space. He makes existence possible in the first place. It's not that just God actualized the potential for existence. God created the potential for existence in the first place. That's what it means He's the makom. He gives space. Because without space, you don't even have the potential for a world. So it's God creating the potential for existence. That's why it's called the makom, the space. Because space is what makes possible that there could be things that will fill the space. So He creates space means He created the potential for existence in the first place. All right, blessed be He. Okay, so now Rav Isaac Chaver, as well as the Kashrut Tzemachin and others say that, as we mentioned, the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin that divides up history and destiny into three eras: Alpayim Tov, 2,000 years of formlessness. Those are the 2,000 years. That precede the Exodus, that the world wasn't running in its proper order. Then there's the 2,000 years of Torah that start with the Exodus properly. And then there's the 2,000 years of Mashiach. So the role of the first 2,000 years of world history is to create the potential for the order that then fills that world. When God developed the world, He had the world build up, and He had the Jewish people, you know, build up to 600,000 men, and that's what it's called, that we were ready, we had the right numbers to become an independent nation. That's when the Exodus happened. So the first 2,000 years of the world is God creating the potential for the proper order. But that proper order has to have a base that it's chal on, a base that manifests itself upon. So God is first creating the potential for the order that He envisioned, and then the order happens. So that's what we mean, Baruch HaMakom, blessed be the place, right, that we're thanking God for the first 2,000 years of world history, because that's what makes possible the new world order that's ushered in by the Exodus. You know, the base for that world order to manifest itself upon is what God built up over the first 2,000 years. And we're thanking God for creating the potential, you know, to have that world, the matter of the world, that takes on the form of the Exodus. But you might think that God gets no glory out of those first 2,000 years of world history. So we're thankful that He created it, but He Himself got no glory from it, because those are 2,000 years where there wasn't the Jewish people, and there wasn't the Torah on earth. People weren't worshiping Him. People didn't identify as being His people. So you might think that He gets no glory out of it. We say, Baruch Hu. No, He gets glory out of it. Right? Because we can see that everything that he did during those first 2,000 years was a build-up towards the Exodus. As we say later in our Haggadah, that God already planned it out with Abraham, how there's going to be an exile to Egypt, there's going to be a redemption from there. And Chazal tells us, Ma'aseh Avos Simcha L'Banim, that everything that happened in the lives of our patriarchs was a sign for what was going to happen to their descendants. That everything that happened prior to the Exodus was really a preparation for the Exodus. And we ourselves can know that. On a deeper level, right, says the Leshem, one of the last of the great Lithuanian Kabbalists, that one of the things that gets revealed by the resurrection of the dead is that God brings back all the opportunities that were thought to be lost and wasted, which that's a solid 2,000 years of world history, because it was not yet a nation doing God's will. Part of the resurrection of the dead is not just to bring back people that once lived, but it's also to bring back all opportunities that were thought to be dead and lost. All those 2,000 years are going to come back, and we're going to see them as a part of the world to come. And we'll see that they were all playing a role in destiny. They were all playing a role in eternality. And we'll see that in the future, as all those moments come back, and they have the right to come back in the future, together with the resurrection of all that was called dead and lost. It all comes back, and has the right to come back, because it was all necessary in order to facilitate the Exodus. And that's Baruch Hu. God will get glory from the potential state of the world. God gets glory also. Baruch Shenasan Torah La'amo Yisrael, but blessed be who gave the Torah to nation Israel. That's talking about the order that the Exodus ushers in. Already when Moshe first meets God for the first time by the burning bush, and God says, this will be your sign, Tavdin Elokim al Harzeh, you're going to serve God at this mountain. That mountain was Har Sinai, where God gave the Torah. That the whole purpose of the Exodus is for the purpose of attaining a Torah. God didn't take us out of Egypt for political reasons. We should just be a free nation for the sake of being a free nation. It was for the purpose of becoming His nation. So the Exodus facilitated the fact that God could give Torah, which is His purpose in creation. As Rashi says on the word Bereshis, the very first word in Torah, in the first, it's for the sake of the Jewish people who are called the first. The world's created for the sake of Torah, that's called the first. And the Exodus makes all that possible. Right? And that's Ari Baruch Hu. Obviously, God gets glory from that also. Right? That the new world order that's ushered in, which is the world order of the Torah. God gets glory from that also. But He gets glory from that also, obviously, not just in a way that we can all see and appreciate that there are people doing His will. Right? But the glory that God gets from it is even beyond our comprehension, right? You might think that since God gave Torah to the Jewish people, so now there's greater responsibility on the people, and since there's greater responsibility, there could also be greater danger of loss, right? Because the criteria of being a righteous person before the giving of the Torah was only the 7 Noahide laws, so it was easy to be considered a tzaddik because there wasn't that much requirements in being righteous. Now there are 613 mitzvahs as opposed to 7. You might think you can lose from that because the responsibility is much greater and could be perhaps impossible for some people to take on. And that's alluded to in the 4 sons. One of the 4 is evil. So you might think that certain people lose by having the yoke of Torah upon them, and God Himself, as it were, loses because... Now 1 out of 4 people are not doing His will. Whereas when there are only 7 Noahide laws, theoretically, everyone could be doing His will. But we know that this is not the case, because the Mishnah says at the end of Makkos, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael, L'Fikach Hirba and Torah Mitzvos, God wants to make the Jewish people virtuous. Right? And therefore He gave them lots of Torah, lots of mitzvahs. That the question all the fortune grapple with is the obvious one. If you want to make people virtuous, give them less requirements for being virtuous, not more. So without getting into all the different answers and all the different explanations, right, but we see that the principle is that we don't lose by having the greater responsibility of the Torah, and God himself certainly doesn't lose. So even though there might be now a lot of people who will be considered Rishayim because they can't handle the higher requirements of the Torah, that's only on a certain level. But God himself gets greater glory, even from these Rishayim, not just the people who uphold the Torah, that for sure from that he gets greater glory. That's simple. So he said, Baruch Shanasim Torah La'am Yisrael, blessed be who gave Torah to his nation Israel, so that he gets glory from those who uphold the Torah. It's obvious. The added Baruch Hu, blessed be he, that, you know, the added, you know, he gets blessing from the non-obvious that you wouldn't have thought of, that is even from the Russia that can't properly observe God's commandments, can't or is not interested, it makes no difference. God gets more glory out of that Russia that's not properly observing the 613 mitzvahs. He gets more glory from that guy than as if he would have not given the Torah in the first place, and that guy would have been considered a tzaddik because he could have handled, or he would have been interested in the seven Noahide laws, and now because God gave him the Torah, so it's 613, and it's too much for him, God still gets more glory out of him that way than if he would have left him a guy with only seven mitzvahs. So how the whole frame of history and destiny is what's being alluded to in that line. I'm talking about the first 2,000 years, and don't think that from those first 2,000 years of world history, which was just setting up for the Exodus, God got no glory. He got glory from those 2,000 years also. That's the Baruch Hu. And then from the giving of the Torah, don't think he just gets glory from the tzaddikim who uphold the Torah. He even gets glory from the Rishayim who can't handle the Torah. From them also he gets glory, more glory than if he would have not given them the Torah. And that, this is all made possible, like we said, by the Exodus. The Exodus is what triggers this whole process into motion, that the world goes from potential to actual, that the world before the Exodus is just a potential world, that's Baruch HaMakom, and then that the world is finally in the actual state that God always wanted from the get-go. That's what the Exodus triggers. That's Baruch Shemasim Torah La'am Yisrael. Now, after the Exodus, God could give the Torah to his nation Israel. And from both those states, God gets glory in ways beyond what we could imagine.